Today's episode is brought to you by the Tax Defense Group. Tax season is here, and that means that it's time to file your taxes. There's good news. If you're a W-2 employee, you can save half off your filing. All you have to do is call the Tax Defense Group before April 15th, 2020, and mention that you saw this ad on UCAS Studios. Millions of Americans will get money back after they file, and you can be one of them. Call the Tax Defense Group today at 800-850-7973. That number again is 800-850-7973. And you can visit them online at thetaxdefensegroup.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Writer Junkie. Are you looking to make more money in 2020? One of the best ways to do that is by having a new resume that can help you get that dream job. Writer Junkie offers affordable, well-written resumes for the low cost of $145. They'll even throw in a cover letter for no additional charge. All you have to do is mention that you saw this ad on UCAS Studios, and they'll get right to work. Call Writer Junkie today at 805-587-7966, and you can visit them online at writerjunkie.com. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Lakers Outsiders Weekly Podcast with UCAS Studios. I'm your host, Gary Kester, here with you as always, flying solo again today. But today I'm going to be talking about some midseason grades for the Los Angeles Lakers. By the time I'm recording this, they just beat the Knicks tonight. Kind of an ugly game, but hey, they got the win. It's all that matters. Bounce back after that terrible performance against the Celtics, which I'm not going to go into that because that'd be a very angry podcast. But today they beat the Knicks, moved to 35-9 on the season. So it's been a great year so far. We're past the midway point. And so I'm going to be doing some midseason grades. I'm also going to, in about the second half of this podcast, be talking about kind of some preseason predictions that we saw from national media pundits and even my own, and kind of see where those predictions line up with where the Lakers are projected to finish now, where they're sitting at in the standings and all that. And I can tell you, I'll just go ahead and spoil some of it right now. A lot of people, including myself, were very wrong about this team. So we'll talk about that a little later on. But first, like I said, I'm going to do these midseason grades. I'm going to go over the grade for the team as a whole, and then I'll go through each player and give a quick kind of breakdown of my grade for each individual player and why I gave them that grade. So yeah, before I get started though, as always guys, be sure to like this video and subscribe to UCAS Studios and Lakers Outsiders on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, wherever you get them. Be sure to subscribe to us both there. And as always, you can find Lakers Outsiders content up on LakersOutsiders.com. You can like us on Facebook and you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram just at Lakers Outsiders. My personal Twitter account is just at Gary Kester. That's GaryKester. All right, let's get started on these midseason grades. It's been, like I said at the start, it's been a very, very good year for the Lakers so far. Not perfect, but very, very good. So my grade overall for the team is an A- so far. And why isn't an A+? They're 35-9, and they're on pace to win a ton of games, and you know, finish first in the West, and all that. I hear you. I hear you know the Lakers have kind of surpassed expectations at this point. So if you wanted me to give them an A+, I totally understand that. But the reason I give them an A- is because I think there's still room for improvement on this team. I think they still have some flaws that they probably need to address before the trade deadline. Maybe the buyout market as well, that could really, really help improve their chances to win the NBA title this year. That's why I gave them an A- as a team. Obviously they've had a great, great year, and the LeBron and Anthony Davis duo has just been an unbelievable pairing. Really, I mean, has been better than my expectations. And I thought that they'd be unbelievably good together. And I think they've been even better than that. they've been really, really good, and it's nice to see that they get along very well off the court, because Anthony Davis is a free agent after this year, or can be a free agent, which all indications are that he will be, just so he can make the most money possible. But yeah, it's been a great, great year so far. They've been a lot better than I thought that they would be, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But the reason, again, why I gave them an A- is just because I think that they could improve things. I still think they need some more wing depth, especially, you know, just another big-bodied wing that can play defense. When they go up against teams like the Clippers and the Bucks that have, you know, some options on the wing, that good offensive options on the wing, gets really a little dicey for the Lakers, because they have LeBron, they have Danny Green out there on the wing, maybe Kyle Kuzma, but Kuzma doesn't bring a ton for you defensively. Danny Green does, LeBron does, but I mean, he's just at that age that's going to be pretty taxing for him to have to chase wings around, you know, pretty consistently defensively, especially the elite wings. So, and plus he's needed so much on offense, you know, because of his shot making and his shot creating. He creates a lot of shots for other guys, and I mean, that's why he's, you know, leading the league in assists and all that. So, but I think they need some more wing depth. I've been kind of saying that throughout the entire season. I think they need another big-bodied wing that they can throw at guys defensively, especially when they go up against like the Clippers, who have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I think having another big defensive wing could really, really benefit them there. So I think that needs to be addressed. The big name obviously has been Andre Iguodala, who would solve a number of the Lakers' problems, but who knows what's going on with that situation. I know he hasn't even been with the Grizzlies this year, even though he's on their roster. I think he's been in the Bay Area still. So we'll see if he gets traded, bought out, whatever. If he gets bought out, then it's go time, I think, for the Lakers. But they've got some different options out there. And I mentioned some of those options on the most recent episode with my five trade targets. Some of those guys were wing players. So if you're interested in some of those trade targets that I mentioned, be sure to check that out. Derrick Rose, I'll give you one, was one of those. And then immediately after, there was a report that the Lakers had been kind of reaching out to the Pistons and kind of gauging what they would want for Derrick Rose. So something to keep an eye on there too. It's nice to see that the Lakers are trying to improve this roster. But I've got two more things for basically his reasoning why I gave the Lakers an A-. One of those things, I mentioned Derrick Rose just a second ago, is I think that they could use another ball-handling guard off the bench that is a scoring threat and can create for others. There's been talk about Darren Collison, who wants to is an L.A. guy, wants to basically remain in L.A. and his two preferred options, if he comes back to play in February, would be the Lakers or the Clippers. And I would think the Lakers would be the favorite because they can offer him a better role. They can offer him a little more money. And and basically the reasoning that we've heard why the Clippers would want him is just so he doesn't go to the Lakers. So that's not really a great sell. The Lakers can actually offer him a pretty significant role, I think, and would be a great, great fit with Frank Vogel. He's played for Vogel and for Doc Rivers. But if they can get Darren Collison, I think that would really be a big boost for this team. But I think they need that guard threat that can score out of the pick and roll and also set up offense for others. Because LeBron, you know, the fact that he has to do so much of the offensive creation for this team is a little worrisome. And when he goes out of the game, they're a different team, even with Anthony Davis on the court, who I think has a negative net rating on the season. But I don't really blame that on AD. I blame that more on just the construction of the roster, because once LeBron goes out, man, it's slim pickings in terms of offensive creation. So it gets a little dicey there. And I just think, if Lakers could add like two players, if they could add another big body wing that can play defense, that'd be perfect. That'd be great. And then if they could add somebody that can create offense, not only for themselves, but for others, that would be great as well. That's why I mentioned Andre Iguodala, because he's a guy that can defend and create. So he would solve a couple of the Lakers' problems. But that's why I gave him an A-. The last thing is the big games, the three games in particular that jump out at me. The Lakers have beaten a number of good teams this year. I mean, they just recently beat the Rockets, got steamrolled by the Celtics, which is irritating. But, you know, that's one game, and we'll see how they respond when they get those guys again in LA. But to me, the 0-2 record against the Clippers and then the 0-1 record against the Bucks, because those are the two teams right now, to me, that are the biggest obstacles. The Lakers need to, I mean, they just need to show that they can beat those teams. And obviously they can beat those teams, but I just want to see it. Like, I just want to see it before I give this team like an A-plus rating. You know, the Clipper game, the first Clipper game, whatever. It's a season opener. It's game one. The Lakers have a lot of new faces, whatever. Kyle Kuzma doesn't play. Paul George doesn't play. So those were far from the final products of those two teams that we're going to see. And the Lakers had opportunities in the fourth quarter, and it didn't work out. Big deal. Not a huge deal to me. The Christmas Day game was irritating because the Lakers should have won that game. You know, end the second quarter on a strong run and push their lead. I believe it was to 11 at the half. But they had a double-digit lead on the Clippers, and they let them come back and just basically gave that game away. They had a ton of wide-open looks in the fourth quarter and just missed a bunch of them. Didn't make plays when they needed to, and let the Clippers steal one. And that was really frustrating. And, you know, I don't know if it does anything to their psyche, but I think they need to beat the Clippers because that team's more than likely going to be standing in the way either in the second round or in the Western Conference Finals of the playoffs. So, and the Bucks game, it was one game kind of similar to the Celtics game, but the Lakers just didn't show up ready to play in that game. The Bucks just kind of took it to them most of the game. Lakers, you know, made it somewhat interesting in the second half, but they just dug themselves such a massive hole in the first half of that game. Just frustrating to see. And I know that was the last game of the road trip at that time, but I want to see the Lakers start to beat these other, you know, elite teams. And to me, they're probably four elite teams, I guess I would say. Three for sure, the Bucks, Clippers, and Lakers. You might be able to throw Philly in there as well when they're fully healthy. But yeah, so that's why I think that there's some room to improve there. And that's why it's an A-minus, not an A-plus, even though they've had a great year. So we'll see how they address kind of some of the roster issues before the deadline, and hopefully they can improve things and start to beat the Clippers and win their second and final meeting with the Bucks. So, all right, let's jump into these individual player ratings, and we'll see. Just kind of go down the list here. I'll just kind of go real quick. AD and LeBron are an A for me. The reason I guess they're not an A-plus for each of them is just LeBron, there have been times this year, as great as he has been, that I think his age has showed a little bit, especially in some of those bigger games like the Clipper games. And I know he wasn't 100% for that second Clipper game. But the Bucks first Clipper game, some of the more big time matchups, LeBron just looked like not like bad, but not quite like himself. And I know I would be shocked if LeBron doesn't ramp it up in the postseason and just take his game to another level. He always does when he gets there. So I'm not like worried about it or anything. Davis has been really good as well. I mean, like I said, both of them are great. An A is not a, you know, not a bad grade at all. Like, I know some people freak out and why aren't they an A-plus and all this stuff. So they're an A. Both superstars, both great. Love what they're doing. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about those two elite players, and both very happy that both play for the Lakers. So Avery Bradley, I gave him a C-plus this year. I thought he started out the year very well, especially defensively, doing a lot of good things for the Lakers. For me, the offense hasn't been great, hasn't shot the ball well. He hasn't hit open shots like I was hoping he would do this year. And yeah, you know, he's kind of hit and miss. I do like appreciate his defensive tenacity. I think he does at least play with a lot of defensive effort. But the offense to me needs to be a little bit better for that grade to be a little better than a C+. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I gave him a B+, and I felt almost like it was too low. KCP, I think has been great this year after a really, really slow start, and it just looked like, man, why is this guy on the court? He's been really, really good. He's come through in some big moments for the Lakers. He's hit some timely shots, shot the ball well from the three-point line. It was really good as a starter when Avery Bradley went out, and I can't say enough good things about KCP this year. I've been proven really, really wrong about him, and I want to apologize. I think I've apologized to him, but I apologize to you, KCP, for doubting you early in the season, because that guy has figured it out. That guy's figured it out and played some good ball ever since then, ever since Avery Bradley went down with the injury, and he's been a big part of this rotation. So KCP's been really good. I give him a B+. I mean, maybe an A-, relative to – and that's kind of the thing with these grades, is it's relative to the expectations of the players. So, but I gave KCP a B+. He's been – Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, man. He's been really good for the Lakers. Next up, Alex Caruso. You guys know I'm a big Caruso guy. Offense still has a lot to work on in terms of his offensive game, but I love his defense, man. I love this dude's defense. He plays really, really hard. The effort's always there, the energy. And defensively, he's legitimately good. Like, people want to, you know, say, oh, he's stealing all-star votes, he's just a meme, blah, blah, blah. Watch this dude on defense. He's really, really good on that end of the floor. And I think it shows up in kind of some of the metrics, like the net rating and stuff like that, especially like fourth quarter net rating. I want to see him get some more fourth quarter minutes, because that guy can play some good defense and can help you get stops. And he's, you know, a capable enough shooter that if he gets open threes, I think, you know, he can knock down some of them. So I'd like to see Alex Caruso get some more minutes. And, you know, I think his defense would be greatly, greatly welcome if he did that. So next up, I'm going to do Quinn Cook and Troy Daniels, kind of same time, same thing. Basically, it's a similar explanation for both. I gave them both a C, and that's mainly just because they're not getting a lot of opportunity. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, there was going to be an odd man out on this team, maybe two or three, and they seem to be it. I would like to see them get some more minutes here and there, just because they can both shoot the basketball, especially if the Lakers are having a rough shooting night from the three-point line. Maybe inject Quinn Cook or Troy Daniels in there to get the three-pointers flowing a little bit. And, you know, I mean, I get it. They're both kind of undersized for their position a little bit, both not good defenders, and really their production level depends solely on their three-point ability. And I just would like to see them get a few more minutes here and there, not a large part of the rotation, but just a few more minutes and get them some more opportunity. So I gave them a C. It's tough to grade those guys because, like I said, they haven't really been part of the rotation much. So we'll see if that changes at all moving forward, but kind of is what it is at this point. And before I jump into kind of the second half of the roster, just a quick message from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by the Tax Defense Group. Tax season is here, and that means that it's time to file your taxes. There's good news. If you're a W-2 employee, you can save half off your filing. All you have to do is call the Tax Defense Group before April 15th, 2020, and mention that you saw this ad on UCAS Studios. Millions of Americans will get money back after they file, and you can be one of them. Call the Tax Defense Group today at 800-850-7973. That number again is 800-850-7973. And you can visit them online at thetaxdefensegroup.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Writer Junkie. Are you looking to make more money in 2020? One of the best ways to do that is by having a new resume that can help you get that dream job. Writer Junkie offers affordable, well-written resumes for the low cost of $145. They'll even throw in a cover letter for no additional charge. All you have to do is mention that you saw this ad on UCAS Studios, and they'll get right to work. Call Writer Junkie today at 805-587-7966, and you can visit them online at writerjunkie.com. Okay, on to the rest of these individual grades. Probably going to go through some of these really quick. Jared Dudley, I gave a B-. I like Dudley a lot. Obviously an older player, isn't going to give you really a ton of minutes or anything like that, but I think he's a great veteran leader. I think he's really, there's been times this year when there's been like some scuffles and stuff like that. At Orlando was the main one that really stuck out. He, you know, great veteran leader, great teammate, and I think he's great for that locker room, and smart basketball mind, really, really smart dude. And I think his presence is great for this team. Just gave him a B minus just because, like I said, his minutes are kind of hit and miss. He just kind of gets them whenever they're presented to him. Doesn't come too often. So, but he is a great presence for this team. So maybe, you know, the grade could be a little higher. But I give him a B minus. I think Dudley's been solid and has done his role pretty well. Or filled his role pretty well, excuse me. Next, I have Danny Green. Danny Green, it's always interesting. I'm a big Tar Heel fan. Man, on that note, I don't even want to go down that road. My Tar Heels are really struggling this year. But Danny Green, I've always loved Danny Green. It's always just kind of funny, though, when you get like these really good three-point shooters on your team. And, you know, it feels like they miss a lot of threes. And it's kind of felt that way at times with Danny Green. There's been times where he's just been on fire, and that's great and it's electric. But there's just a lot of times where it seems like he's got wide open looks and he just can't seem to get them to go. But then you look at his three-point percentage this year, and it's pretty good. You know, it's pretty good. So I gave Danny Green a B. I think that he's one of those guys that I'm not overly concerned about because I think he elevates his game when he gets to the playoffs typically. And I think that's what he's going to do with this team. And I think, you know, he's going to make some big plays for the Lakers in April, May, and hopefully June. I like his, I mean, I still think he's a good perimeter defender. And I think, a good shooter. And that's very, very important for this team. It's very important for this team because, like I mentioned at the start, they're a little thin on the wing, and they definitely need his perimeter defense, and that shooting is something that is going to be big for this team, not only now, but throughout the rest of the year. So I give him a B just because he's gone through stretches where it feels like he hasn't shot the ball overly well. But I think he's been very solid overall, and I just think he's going to get better when the game's the games get bigger, the lights get brighter, and the stage is more important. So Danny Green been solid, but we'll kind of see, I think, what he's made of as the playoffs come around. Next up is Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard has been really good. I was actually totally on board with the Lakers signing him. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like it, obviously, because of how the stint went in 2012. But I was excited for him. I thought he'd be, you know, a pretty good fit for this team. It was all about his mindset and his maturity level, and he's been great on that front. He's been absolutely great. As far as on-court play, kind of up and down a little bit, but a lot of really good ups. I think defensively, he's been very, very good on that end, and he's just kind of fulfilled his role very, very well. I kind of felt the same way with his grade that I did with KCP. I gave him a B+, but I think you could definitely argue something like an A-, because both have been very important for a number of wins for the Lakers this year, and I just really like what they've both brought to the table. Like I said, Dwight has been fantastic both on and off the court. But, you know, there are some times where maybe some bad matchups where he has to be out on the perimeter a little too much or whatever. You know, it can be kind of rough going for him. So I gave him a B+. I think he's been really, really solid for the Lakers, and hopefully that can continue moving forward. Next is probably the most difficult grade I had to give out. It was just really, really tough for me to grade this player, and that is Kyle Kuzma. His peaks and his valleys, man. The peaks are great when this kid is shooting the ball well and he's hitting threes. He has so much value on this team. He becomes like that third option for the Lakers behind AD and LeBron, and it's great to see. It's very, very good to see. I mean, the OKC game where AD and LeBron were both out, I mean, Kuzma was fantastic. I mean, he took over and he played like an all-star in that game. Was really, really good. And then he has games where he shoots, you know, 4 of 12 or 2 of 10. You know, it's just the inconsistency for me is why I probably gave him a lower grade. I wanted him to be more consistent this year And hopefully, you know, there's still, I mean, pretty much a second half of the season to go. So hopefully he kind of finds his rhythm and he just figures out that whole consistency issue and can get it going. Because I think the Lakers would elevate to the next level if he can be more consistent. But I gave him a C+ just because, like I said, the highs are really high, but the lows are very, very low. And my concern with Kuzma is when he's not scoring, I'm not sure exactly what all he's bringing. I did think his energy and his effort was a lot better in this game tonight against the Knicks, even though the shooting wasn't great. So if he can do that more consistently, that'd be great. That's just been kind of my thing with him is I'm a big believer in Kyle Kuzma. I think his scoring ability, he can be a three-level scorer, and that's important. But just the ups and downs are why I gave him, you know, probably a lower grade than some of you would. And it's not that I don't like Kuz. Like I said, I believe in him, but I just wanted to see him be more consistent. That's what I want to see. All right, I got two more grades to go. JaVale McGee, I gave a B- for JaVale. I think it's kind of interesting that he, you know, for most of the season has been kind of a two-shift player. Kind of starts the first half, starts the second half, and that's pretty much it. But he comes in, I think he does his role fairly well. He, you know, has some boneheaded plays here and there for sure, but you know, it is what it is. That's kind of who he is. When his effort is there and he plays hard and he defends the basket and he finishes, you know, lob plays, finishes off, you know, passes around the basket and gets those opportunities, that's just what the Lakers need him to do right there. And when he does that, I think he's done that pretty well for the most part. He's had his ups and downs just like most of the guys on the roster. But I think he does his role pretty well. You know, he's not going to give the Lakers a ton of minutes. Like I said, he's basically a two-shift player. And, you know, I think he's a pretty good fit next to AD because of the defense and everything. Offers a lot of rim protection and a lob target and those things. So I gave him a B-. I think JaVale's been pretty solid. Pretty solid, but definitely has his moments where he's a frustrating player. And that brings me to my last grade, Rajon Rondo. Before I do this, I gave so the three guys on the roster, Talen Horton-Tucker, Kostas Antetokounmpo, and DeMarcus Cousins, I gave an NA grade, like a not applicable, just because they just haven't played really. So THT has been good in the G League. He's shown some encouraging stuff. So that's nice, but hasn't really gotten hardly any run with the big boys. And DeMarcus Cousins, I think, has been a good presence in that locker room, even though we probably won't see him at all this year. I mean, there's a chance. Frank Vogel keeps talking about how there's a possibility that he gets to play in the playoffs or something like that. But I just wouldn't count on it. That's just a tough injury to come back from on top of what the other injuries that he's already suffered you know, in the years before that. So, but I do think DeMarcus, I want to give credit to him. I think he's a good presence in that locker room. I think Horton Tucker is going to be a good prospect for the Lakers moving forward, but hasn't gotten really any run with the big boys. So, all right, back to the last grade, Rajon Rondo. You guys that know me, I want Rondo to be really good for this team. I really do. Anybody, like, I know he's a former Celtic or whatever, but like anybody that puts on the purple and gold, I'm going to root for you no matter what. I gave Rondo a D. Some of you I know are going to agree with that. I think some Laker fans are kind of fed up and frustrated with him, which is kind of where I'm at. And some people still love Rondo and still will make a lot of excuses for him. And if Rondo's your guy, that's your thing, your prerogative, more power to you, whatever. I don't see it. I just don't think he has it anymore. Really, the only reason this grade isn't lower is because he has had a couple moments here and there where, you know, he's been pretty good, where he's, you know, he's hit shots. Like to start the year, he was like one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. Like he was shooting the ball extremely well. That has fallen off, you know, since then. And I don't know, man. I understand why he was on the team because, you know, it makes Anthony Davis happy. LeBron seems to like him. And, you know, he has this reputation as a playmaker. And I thought that, you know, maybe that's that's good, because LeBron, you know, when LeBron goes out of the game, Rondo can come in and do that and set up other guys. But man, he just, the ball kind of stops with Rondo. He dribbles way too much. He's not a shooter, not a scoring threat. He kills floor spacing. And honestly, the playmaking has kind of gone out the window too. Like, he still has it a little bit in his bag, but it's just, I don't know. Sometimes I think he's assist hunting a little too much, and it kind of hijacks the offense a little bit. And I don't know. He's just a frustrating player to watch. Like, if this was 2012 Rondo, I used to love Rondo's game back in, like, you know, 2011, 2012, 2013, in that span. He just doesn't have it anymore. He just doesn't have it anymore. I want him to be good, but I just don't see it. Defensively, he doesn't offer really anything. And just watch his defender when the Lakers are on offense, man. That guy is sagging into the paint and just mucking everything up, you know, in terms of their offensive spacing. And it's tough to get something going towards the basket when you've got an extra defender standing in the way. So teams just don't respect his shooting, and I don't blame them. They don't respect his scoring ability, really. And I wish he was better, but I mean, just at this point of his career, I don't see it. I don't see it. So that's why I gave him a grade of a D. Okay. With those grades out of the way, let me know what you guys think of those grades. That's probably a dangerous thing to say. Some of you probably will greatly, greatly disagree with some of the grades that I gave, either for the team overall or for the individuals. But let me know. Let me know in the comments what you think of the grades. Before we get out of here, I mentioned I want to talk about, real quick, some of the preseason projections for the Lakers and how wrong they have been so far. I'll start with myself. If you guys remember, I went on in the preseason and basically just did kind of like my preseason prediction for the Lakers, what their record would be, where they would finish in the West, and all that stuff. And I have been very, very wrong about this team. I had the Lakers finishing with 49 wins. I thought they'd finish right around 50 wins, and I had them fourth in the West. And I just want to say, obviously, I'm an idiot, but in my defense for that, I had a number of reasons for this. This team has been so injury prone. Obviously different players on the rosters, but like, this team has had such bad injury luck for the last 6 years that I figured that's going to come into play along the way. Another thing, I thought that LeBron and Anthony Davis would have a lot more load management. I thought that they'd really try and take it easy on them in the regular season. But those guys have wanted to play when they're healthy, and I respect them for that. I've been pretty off on that. The injury front has been pretty good for the Lakers, knock on wood, nothing too serious. So hopefully that continues. And I just didn't think the Lakers would really take the regular season that seriously. Now I think it'd be really nice for them to get the one seed and get home court advantage in the Western Conference playoffs. I didn't think that they really cared. I don't know if they care or not, or they still care or whatever, but it would be nice to get that one seed. But I also didn't think it would be very important to them, so that's why I thought they'd do some load management with their two superstars. I also thought with a new coach, new system, and everything, it would be very tough for them to get off to a great start in the first half of the year. So I was very wrong about that. And there was a lot of roster turnover as well. So, like I said, a lot of new faces, new coach, all that, injury problems in the past, load management. That was why I had the Lakers pegged a little low, and I was very wrong for that. So, Lakers, I apologize for doubting you. Forgive me. Won't happen again, I promise. All right, I'll go through some of just like these major publications. Really interesting to kind of look back on some of these. Maybe I should do a whole pod bringing up old Twitter takes, because I've got some saved, and they're pretty hilarious. One that I'll just share this time was somebody predicted that the Pelicans would win more games than the Lakers. Great job. Anyways, Bleacher Report had the Lakers finishing 53-29 this year. looks like they're going to win more than that. So they gave the Lakers more credit than I did, and it still wasn't enough. The Lakers right now are actually on a 65-win pace. So if they keep up at this current pace, they'll finish 65-17, which would be great. Would be unbelievably good for a team, like I said, with a lot of roster turnover, new coach, and all that. Sporting news didn't have – I couldn't find a record. I had the Lakers finishing fourth in the West. CBS Sports, the Lakers finishing 51-31, fifth in the West. SB Nation did like a roundtable, and only one person picked the Lakers to win the West and to win the title, and that was actually Tom Ziller, who's a big Kings fan. I know he hates the Lakers, so kind of says something that, you know, a big Laker hater actually acknowledge that the Lakers were going to be really good, and he's been right. However, I will say with Tom, and I don't mean to pick on Tom, I just thought it was kind of funny. One of the questions for the roundtable for SB Nation was, when would the Lakers have their first like players only meeting? And he said, when they lose to the Pelicans and drop to 8-10. So swing and a miss there, but hopefully you're right on the Lakers winning the title and the Western Conference. So, and then finally, ESPN had the Lakers finishing 51-31 and fifth in the West. So you can see my prediction was kind of in line with all these other ones. Maybe it was the same reasoning. I just had some more doubts of, you know, like I said, the reasons that I mentioned just a second ago. I don't know if the reasoning was the same for all these other predictions. I think some of it's anti-Laker bias, in all honesty. You know, it really is. Obviously not for me, because I love the Lakers, but I had my doubts, and I still have some concerns. Like I mentioned at the beginning, some areas where the roster can be improved. But it's safe to say the Lakers have been far better than expected, and they have proven a lot of people, including myself, very, very wrong. So, all right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, like always, be sure to like this video and subscribe to UCAS Studios and Lakers Outsiders on YouTube and all those major podcast platforms. And you can get all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Lakers Outsiders, and like us on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Gary Kester. So, yeah, that's going to do it. Until next time, guys, this is Gary Kester with the Lakers Outsiders, signing off.